So you immerse yourself in the false self. Whereas 3 hours before that, the morning breeze has these wonderful secrets to tell you, and you'll have stuff revealed to you, some of the most profound ideas. I'll pick up the phone, and because I live on Maui and people are back on the mainland, it's 3 hours later or 6 hours later if I want to call the East Coast, and I'll share with them ideas that are multi-million dollar ideas that just came to me because I was in the space of being willing to allow spirit, which awakened me. What do you think it is that awakens you? And why do you think it awakens you at the same time, night after night after night after night? It's God saying, come on, I'm trying to get your attention here. It's the highest part of you saying, there's something profound here. Listen to it. Because you must be what you came from. You must be just like what you came from. And what you came from is most evident at that early morning time. If I had a pie up here, and this pie had 8 pieces in it, and I sliced out one piece and I put it over here, and I had this one slice that was separate from the other 7, and I said to you, what is this slice of pie here? What do you think it's like? You would say, well, where did it come from? You say, well, it came from over there. Well, I would suggest that it's like where it came from. So if it's an apple pie and you took a slice out of it, you wouldn't expect to have a cherry slice there, would you? You would expect that it's like what it came from. If you took a little vial of blood from your arm and it registered 247 cholesterol level, you could probably make a safe bet that there's 247 cholesterol level in the source from which this little vial of blood came. Wouldn't you be able to make that? We make that conclusion all the time. We don't say, let's see now, you got 3 gallons of blood in there or whatever you have. So we're gonna have to take it all out and see how much cholesterol is in there, and then we'll try to get it back in before you collapse. We don't do that. We just take a tiny little bit because we know that when something comes from a source, that it must be like the source that it came from. So we can tell you the iron content, and we can tell you how much calcium is in there, and we can tell you all kinds of things about what is going on in the source of your blood from this tiny little sample. If you had an orange and you took one slice from the orange and said, what's this? What do you think this slice is like? You'd say, well, it's pretty much like the orange that it came from. It's a pretty good bet that whatever it is that is the source of something, and when something comes from that source, that what it is like that source. Pretty safe bet, wouldn't you say? So why don't we apply that to ourselves? We all came from the same source. And the source that we came from is a source of unlimited creativity. It's a source of abundance. It's a source of well-being. It's a source that doesn't discriminate. It's a source that judges no one, that doesn't exclude anyone. It's not a source that says, let's see, I got so much oxygen here. I think I'll give some of it to you over here, but over here you don't get any. And I got all of this water, I'm gonna give you some, but you don't get any, and I've got this air, and you're gonna have some air, and you don't. It's a source that says, here it is, and you all get it. It's available to all of you. And then we come along and concoct ideas that say, you get to be accepted by God, but you don't. And we call these organizations godlike, even though they exclude and do the opposite of what God does. And then we're surprised when we find ourselves living in a non-spiritual world. Because you must be like what you came from. You came from a place of divinity, of perfection, of well-being, of joy, of peace. That's what the source is like. That's the source that's constantly creating. And for you to be in any other state other than that, believing that you are limited, believing that you cannot attract what you want in your life, believing that you don't have the power to heal yourself and others, believing that you can't have the right people show up when you want them to show up, believing that you can't get the job that you would like to get for yourself. When you start believing in these things, you've left God realization behind. God realization is that place of living in spirit. That's what it means to be inspired, to be in a place where there are no limitations. A little bit later on in this program, I'm going to be speaking about what I call the rewards of living an inspired life. And there are six of them, and they're magnificent. They change everything around for you. Nothing is impossible. Joy is something that is yours at all moments. Well-being is something that you can attract for yourself and for others. Energy is something that you have an unlimited amount of. And one of the best places to start is first with a new awareness, a new thought that becomes a belief. I am what I came from because there's no other way to be. I must be like what I came from. That's where I choose to be. And now I get awakened every night at a time when it's peaceful and quiet, when the memory of God comes to that quiet mind. I'm going to just shake the cobwebs out. I'm going to put my feet on the floor, and I'm going to remember what a poet 800 years ago reminded us of. The morning breeze has secrets to tell me. I'm not going back to sleep. I'm going to discover them. The program is about inspiration in spirit, living in spirit. Over the years, people have asked me about a definition of this. How is inspiration different from motivation, for example? When you're said to be highly motivated, you are a person who believes that you are going to accomplish whatever you set your mind to accomplish, and that no one is going to interfere with you fulfilling your objectives or your goals. That's a highly motivated person. Driven, overcoming all obstacles, not paying attention to anybody telling them that they can't do it, forcefully driven to accomplish what they want, highly motivated. And for many years, I have been called the father of motivation, which I really don't need. I'm the father of eight. I don't need anybody else to be father of, okay? I promise you, I've got enough of that in my life. And I think I just believed for a long time that there was a way that you could motivate other people. But having eight children and raised them, I've found that you don't really motivate anyone. That when the teachers are ready, the students appear. And when they're not ready, the teachers are still there, but you don't even notice them. And until you are ready, then you won't see all of the things that are available to you. I started college when I was 22. At 18, I wouldn't have been any more ready to go to college than I would have been at 3. It would have been an absurdity for me to even think about entering college after high school. Nobody in the neighborhood that I lived had ever even gone to college. I didn't even know where they were. Nobody in my family had ever gone to college. When I was 22, I was ready. I'd spent 4 years in the service, and I was living much more of an inspired life. It didn't mean that colleges weren't available, and it didn't mean that opportunities to go to school weren't available. It just meant that I wasn't ready. And having raised eight children and seen them all come through the same mother, come live in the same home and have the same parents and the same kind of values and so on, and how different each of them are, and how some of them aren't ready, and they're still not ready, and they're in their 30s, and some of them are ready when they're teenagers, and some show up ready. I think Khalil Gibran's observation that your children are not your children. They are the products of life's longing for itself.